Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us His grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of His kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
As your word said, eyes are open to see, our minds are open to comprehend. Your word will be a light for our path and a lamp for our feet. Can we be seated? So this is more like, we can call this subtopic the Luke 6 blueprints, and in bracket you can write digging past the surface. Hallelujah to Jesus. Said the Luke 6 blueprints, digging past the surface. So let's see from Luke 6, from 46, from verse 46, show you whom he is like. Alright, so if anyone firstly is like, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Secondly, he says, whoever comes to me and hears me and does whatever I have said, then he's like, I want to show you whom he is like. Next part of scripture, and this is the description. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. A man building a house, but the man dug deep. Now, who is Jesus trying to show us, describe to us here? A man who hears the word and does the word. Are you alive here? Jesus is trying to describe a man that word, hears the word and does the word. He's describing a man that word. Hey, reply me, want to go. Hears the word and does the word. Alright. So the man that hears the word and does the word is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. That's a man that hears the word and does it. It's like a man who dug the ground and built a house, who digs the ground and laid the foundation on the rock. I mean, a man who is building, who dug the deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was what? Alright, so here, listen carefully, very deeply. A man who hears the word and does it, this is the description of the man. It's a man who dug the ground and built his house on a rock, so that when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it will not shake. Why? Because that house is founded on a rock. And Jesus is telling us that a man who hears the word and does the word faces a lot of trials. He has faced a lot of trials and tribulation, and at the end he still did the word. Are we together? That simply means those who are doing the word that you see, you know, every day, they face a lot of trials and tribulations. And the reason they are still standing and doing the word of God is because, it's not because they are strong people, it's because they've built their house on the rock. They dug deep and built their house on the rock. Alright? So if you see somebody who hears the word of God and is doing it, it is because, it's not because the person has so much power in himself. It is because the person just followed the algorithm of the Holy Spirit, you know, to dig the ground and build his house on the rock. The person made sure, and that digging the ground, I want to liken it to staying on the word. More like a holy desire to want to know the word of God, the truth of God's word. All right? Which simply means studying the word. It involves your own input so much. You create time to want to study the word and pray the word. Are we together? You create a lot of time to what? Want to study the word and what? Pray the word to become your reality. The Bible says, such a man dug the ground and found the rock. The Bible speaks how that men of God can labor in the word and doctrine. All right, meaning when you search the scripture, it is more like digging the ground so that you find what? The rock. Are we together? Very important, because it is revelation that gives place to prayer. So when you understand the word of God, then prayer can be achieved. Prayer can be satisfied. It can be fulfilled. The law of prayer can find expression. But firstly, you must dig the ground to find the rock, and then build your house on the rock. The Bible says, such a man that hears the word and does it has been faced with so much tribulations and trials that the flood arose and the stream beat it vehemently, but could not succeed. Why? Not because he cried and said, God, I mean it this time. I don't want to do it again. Blah, 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 blah. Was so emotional before God. But because his house was built where? On the rock. What will keep you standing is not the fact that you mean it. You know, sometimes you mean it to the Lord and you still find yourself doing the wrong things. Lord, I mean it. I don't want to do it. No. But because you dug the ground, found the rock, and are building your house where? On the rock. Your righteousness on the rock. Hallelujah to Jesus. So there are a lot of sincere people who fear God. A lot of sincere people who fear God. And sometimes they get disappointed in themselves. And I wish their eyes are open to what God is saying in the realm of the spirit. As long as you don't know God, he expected you to fall. Let me say it again. As long as you don't know God, he expected you to fall. Yeah. Because the law of scripture in 1 John 3:6 says, it is they that know him or have seen him, which is reciprocal to abiding in him, that will not what? Sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither what? Seen him nor known him. So people who abide in God are the people who are going to see God. And of course, finally, the people who are going to know God. And the same effect, they cannot continue in their sin. Are we together? That's why I always tell you people, meditation is as powerful as knowing God and experiencing God. If you don't abide in the word, you may not even understand everything we are saying. But if you carry this word of God and go back home and start abiding, you're trying to understand whatever we have said in this 2-hour service probably, you get to catch the truth of the word personally. Alright, so you become the person that have seen or what? Known the word. And should not what? Continue in his... Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? And that action is what we call digging to build your house where? On the rock. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So if, for instance, you sin, God expected you to sin because you did not know him. Alright, and that's why Romans 5, Jesus was like, wherever there is sin, grace abides even more. It's like, if you find yourself in sin, just rush to grace. Try to come and, you know, understand me. Come and experience me. Because the only reason why you will not sin is that you understand grace. And you guys get what I'm trying to say? Of course, grace is not a license to sin. I'm not arguing with anybody. You see, I'm not a very stupid person. Where I'm sitting and say, it's a lie. That doesn't give it to what you concern me. I'm just teaching the truth. If you have the Holy Ghost, catch it. If you don't care, if you think you are supposed to be sinning, sin. At the end, we'll know. You rot in hell and it's your business. I don't know why people are arguing over rubbish. You see people online. I even saw one post today. I don't know how true it is that they discarded somebody from the house because of they found that he preaches once safe, always safe. Whatever I do in the flesh does not matter. So the landlord now found that there is that kind of preacher and they remove him from the house. He does not have house now. I said, which kind of if you think the doctrine is wrong, huh, and you acted like this, your own doctrine is worse. Are we together? What will you do such a thing? Because somebody does not believe your ideology. Now, I don't believe that ideology. Firstly, I understand that salvation is eternal. Let me see if I can give you that scripture. I don't know, I'm overstressing myself over this, but let me just see if I can give you. First Peter 1:23. Is it First Peter or Second Peter? Let's see it in the NLT's rendition. First Peter 1:23. For you have been born again. You have been born again in the NLT's rendition, right? Your new life did not come from your earthly parents, because the life they gave you will end in death. But this new life will last forever, because it comes from God, the eternal, living Word of God. Are we together? So your salvation, and this your new life, is eternal. So you see, they are making things complicated. Because firstly, your salvation is eternal. But the people who think salvation is eternal have a wrong view of salvation. Are we together? Now look at it in scripture. Your salvation is what? Did you read it here? I didn't write the Bible, so look at it and believe it. It says, but this new life, third line, half of the third line, it says, but this new life will last forever, because it comes from what? The eternal living Word of God. You see that? So this new life, and listen, it's a life, all right? It's not more like a religious practice. It's your new life. It's your life right now, and it's forever. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's not some practice. Okay? But when we say whatever you do in the flesh does not matter, then what do we do? Is scriptures that says in a great house are several vessels. And that if a man purges himself of the latter, he becomes a vessel profitable for the master's use. There is just one truth in the whole of this thing. The core of everything is that we don't believe Jesus. That's just my own stand. And I really don't care who the hell thinks opposite of what I'm saying. It's just the truth. Because both sides, I believe they don't believe Jesus. Who think whatever you do in the flesh does not matter? I believe they don't believe Jesus. The ones who think you can lose your salvation, I still believe they don't believe Jesus. Because if we truly believe Jesus, we will believe his word. Not logic. As we are even seated here in this church, how many people are even thinking that they can live forever without sin? I don't think there are more than two people in this place. You may actually say, I believe. It's not about saying it. A lot of people who believe they can sin. You know, the work of a pastor goes beyond making sure you rent a hall or build a church. If you really want to, if the word of God really gets revealed to you and you truly understand these things, your burden go beyond bills to pay in church. You begin to think of the people and how that they are supposed to be metamorphosed into the reality of God's word. And I can tell you, it's a very big burden. It's more like wearing God's yoke and burden. Many people don't believe the word of God. And you see, this your unbelief positions you for failure already. As long as you think that you can't live above sin, you must sin. As long as you think you cannot live above sin, you can't help yourself. Because to be carnally minded is what? You go and say this thing to other preachers, in fact, other Christians like you, and see the way they react. We can live above sin. We can say, you mean that 24 hours you will not sin? Where? What is the basis for their strong reason that you should sin? It is not the word of God. It is human experience. They've tried to live for God several times, and they found that together with a lot of people who tried and failed, and all of them just understood the feelings of their infirmity and agree against the word of God. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. That nobody can live above sin. It's so easy to say nobody can be perfect. We don't know where the hell that inspiration came from, but it's so easy to just agree that nobody can be perfect. Everybody believes it here. And that's why it's fake. It's not truth. Because everybody believes it. When we speak weakness, everybody can relate more with weakness. Who am I, for instance? Yeah. Something. Maybe a worshiper wants to lead a song. He'd be like, who am I? What am I? Nothing. Dust. Pencil in the hand of the Creator. We like those kind of things. But when they say you are seated with Christ far above principalities and powers, you are who God says that you are. You've been born of the Christ. You live and reign above sin. You see questions. They'll just be looking at you like this. Who can live above sin? They can relate more with weakness than strength. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that's why I believe either way. The reason why two of them are arguing, these both parties in the body of Christ, the reason why they are arguing is because both of them don't know God. Let me be captured on camera. You can cut it and put it out there. They don't. I can't know that my name is Simon and be arguing with you. It's not possible. Why am I arguing with you? When I know my name is Simon, and you argue with me that my name is not Simon, I will just laugh and go away. Because I know my name. Why do I need to say a word? Learn to picture yourself in God's word. If he says it, picture yourself in it. See, it is very hard. Let me tell you your reality. Your reality is what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered into the heart of men. Men have not even imagined it. God said that should be the order of the day for you and I. Then you think it will be easy for even you to believe it. Isaiah said, as far as the heavens are far from the earth, so are his ways far above the ways of a mere man. Meanwhile, you have received the Holy Spirit today. The Bible says the Spirit of God searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And that who knows the heart of a man but the spirit of that man? And he said, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God? Then he said, you have received the Holy Spirit, who is from God, that you may understand what God has freely given unto you. Then he says something striking at the end, verse 16. He said, who knows the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? He said, you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ that Isaiah spoke about. He said, as far as the heavens are far from the earth, so are his ways above the ways of a mere man. You have those ways as your mindset right now. Is that not striking? That simply means when you talk, people should say what Paul said about you. That you are like aliens upon the face of the earth. Where are you coming from? What are you saying? Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? I shouldn't make sense to a lot of people. I can't make sense to my teachers in school. I can't even make sense to my parents anymore, because I've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word. I can't make sense to my friends anymore, except they begin to think like me by the Holy Ghost. Because what I'm saying, they've never heard. Eyes have never seen. Ears have never heard. It has never entered into the hearts of men. It has never entered their heart. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you guys here? So why do you think it will be easy for people to comprehend? To believe it. It is very difficult. And that's why people settle down for less. Years ago, I shared a vision here. I don't know if you people can remember. I said I was in a vision and I saw a young man like me struggling in a vision. He loved the Lord, but he was struggling. I don't know why God was showing me such a vision. And why the young man was struggling at the end of everything, he gave up on himself. Not holy surrender like we are talking about. He gave up on himself and he said, and he just went somewhere and sat down. And Satan just flowed through the heart of that preacher and spoke to him and said, before the foundation of the world, the Lord knew that you will be in this sin and that sin, yet he still called you because you know you overcome it. And it sounded so motivational. But it comforted that young man in sin. And he never left the sin. You see, as beautiful as that thing sounds, that's not what will take you out of sin. What will take you out of sin is the understanding of His great and precious promises. You must understand the mystery behind His death, burial, and what resurrection. What I just said is a motivational statement. It is not the message of the cross. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So it can inspire the guy for a moment, but it doesn't have sustaining power. Alright? Because he has to understand what truly happened when Jesus died. The separation from sin and its nature, how that whatever happened when he was buried, whatever happened when he resurrected, he needs to really understand it. Like Paul would say, I determined to know nothing amongst you but what? And him being what? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So if he doesn't understand that, he may be inspired by that word for a while, but he will go back to sin. A time will come, it doesn't matter whether he wants to live for God. Alright? You just find out that he will go back to sin. Some sort of, that guy will go back to sin. Even though he has a desire to live for God. But there is no sustaining power. There is no revelation that should help make for that sustaining power. He's not exposed to revelation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. And you, the sad reality is that builders rejected the stone. The stone, the real stone, the real revelation, the builders don't like it. They've rejected it. The Bible said the message of the cross is foolishness to them that are perishing. Foolishness. And if you substitute foolishness in 1 Corinthians there, he said it is foolishness to them. If you do the maths very well, you can substitute perishing there for those who claim to be wise. Because he said something at the base. He said the Jew require a sign, but the Greeks, what? Wisdom. So they think they are too wise that the message of the cross now becomes foolishness to them. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So they feel like that is not sufficient enough to be a message that should save anybody. Alright? And that's why somewhere in scripture Paul still said, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to what? Confirm the wise. It doesn't make sense to wise people, so-called wise people in time. Are we together? And that is why some situations happened upon the face of the earth. Like for instance, there's these people in the Orthodox that are called the monks. The monk is not a divine idea. The monk idea is an idea that I can say is a function of a desire. Let me just put it like this. A function of fear for failure. Can I put it like that? What gave birth to the monk idea is fear for failure. Fear for failure. I don't want to sound quite bad by saying it is a function of frustration. So let me say fear for failure. Because you see, they found out that no matter how much they love the Lord, alright, they still found themselves doing wrong things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So a particular set of ministers said, okay, they want to lock themselves. That's how it started. They want to lock themselves in a room for years. That if they don't see anything happening in the world, they will not sin. They don't want to see women. They don't want to see anything in the world, because probably the reason why they are seeing it is because the reason why they are still in sin probably is because they what? They see those things. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? They don't want to see flashy things. They don't want to see anything exciting because it probably will lead to sin. So they decided to lock themselves. That's how it started, the monk idea, for many years. So that finally they will what? Make heaven. But of course it could not be sustained, because with time they saw that they have to travel to other places, you know, probably and preach the gospel and the rest. Are we together? So it's not a divine idea. It's a man-made idea. The fruit of frustration. You know, a desire not what? Fulfilled. Hope the fact probably. Alright? That led to what? The monk idea. And other ideas, there are other ideas even in the Pentecostal world. You know, one time I was studying and I asked the Lord, why would people call themselves Puritans? why will people call themselves Puritans? Why will you... They are Christians and they are Puritans. Are all Christians not supposed to be pure? But you see, because the people found out that this Christianity is not looking like how, you know, scripture, they now say, okay, we are going to be separated. We are Puritans. In fact, I've seen several, recently I saw even a theological school that they wrote something like Puritans, waiting. And I was just smiling. I think that those things are a function of pride. Because every Christian ought to be pure. We should not separate anything and call it Puritans. The job is to make sure everybody be like Christ. But we begin to do all those separation now. It will seem as if you in Puritan school are pure. And I tell you the truth, you can be in Puritan school without the revelation of Christ. You are the most impure. It's not a prediction. If you don't know Christ, you are not okay. Whether you are in Puritan school or holiness school, whether you wear earrings or not, as long as you don't know Christ, you are not what? Okay. There are a lot of people who don't know Christ who have dirty minds. I'm 100% sure. Are you listening to me? If you just have some religious beliefs in your heart, you want to make heaven one day, you'll be frustrated upon the face of it. There are a lot of frustrated Christians. Their goal is to make heaven. They are very frustrated. They are just journeying to make heaven one day. And it's the most frustrating journey you can ever take in life. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to explain. All they are doing in this world is to the end that they make heaven one day. And that's why you see some kind of certain songs that are quite funny. You know, heavenly rays. Have you heard that song before? I know go tire, heavenly rays. I mean, you're going to be tired whether you like it or not. Because God never called us into an heavenly race. He called us to bring heaven to the earth. And very funny, finally, you will not be caught up in heaven. You will leave heaven upon the face of the earth. That's what will happen finally. Now, if this thing is what was there in the beginning, listen carefully. This is now in theology. The character of God is that He declares the end from the beginning. Meaning, if you want to know the matter of in matter in God, look at how He starts it. That's how it will end. He's the Lord God that what? Changeth not. Alright? Now, if He wanted Adam to leave heaven on earth in the beginning, what do you think He wants man to live on the earth? Finally, heaven on earth. And that's why the dead in Christ shall be the first what? And He shall reign upon the face of the earth. You see that? So what God wants for the finally is what He wanted in the beginning. Is what He did already in the beginning. And it is what He wants for the now. I don't know that you people are getting what I'm trying to say. So the journey should not be making heaven one day. The journey is to what? Bring heaven to the face of the earth. When He taught us how to pray, He said, pray that you should make heaven one day. What did He say? My kingdom what? You see that? And that's why Paul said, now, at the start of school, if you die before the parousia, which is the second coming, you will not be upon the face of the earth. Neither will you be in purgatory. It does not exist. Are we together? Where you will be is in either heaven or hell. Because even the final destination is not hell. Are we together? Finally, God will not be sitting with us in the glory and there will be some people shouting and crying. Alright? They will just stop existing. There's an end. It's more like a mini dustbin and a final dustbin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that final dustbin is called lake of fire. Are we together? Figuratively, it's called lake of fire in the book of Revelation. I can't tell how it will be. It's some sort of event that will end everything of darkness. It will be like you just dumped it and it stops existing finally. The Lord give you understanding. Are you understanding me this wonderful evening? Alright, so you see, and Jesus proved it in the beginning. He said, take Adam out, lest he eats from the tree of life and lives forever. Are we together? Hallelujah to Jesus. Yes. So I said in the beginning in Genesis, God told Adam not to go back and eat from the tree of life, else he will eat and live forever. That simply means God does not have, you know, I've heard people saying that the problem is not, how did they say that message? The problem is not, there's a way they say it, they will not say, where do you want to stay, live forever? Something like that. Okay, yeah, the problem is not living forever. The problem is the destination where you live forever. All right? I think that's how they say it, isn't it? And it's not a bad thing. It's just because they've probably not seen this. No unbeliever will live forever. Eternal life is only in God. Are you listening to me? You know, I've heard people say there's a difference between eternal and everlasting. Sometimes it's embarrassing because there are people you respect. And of course, I always teach you to respect the people even if you don't agree with the doctrines. Okay? Never make somebody feel embarrassed. But there is no difference between what? Everlasting and eternal life. They are both the same. It's just English language. Now, if you find any scripture that proves me wrong, show me. But there is no scripture. Are we together? Everlasting is eternal. Eternal is what? Everlasting. So Jesus said, if he eats from the tree of life, he will live forever. Meaning God does not want somebody in the wrong state to live forever. Adam was in the wrong state. He ate from the wrong tree. And the Bible said the day he ate, he died. And God does not want a dead being because the consequence of sin is what? He doesn't want somebody who is a function of sin to live forever. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Yes, believe it. You understand it. There's a great spirit of understanding here. Just focus on me and look at me. So he does not want somebody in sin to live forever. And that's why I know, connecting diverse scripture, that the sinner cannot live forever. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why, figuratively, the Bible describes an end for hell and sinners as what? A lake of what? Fire. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? I believe the lake of fire is not some physical fire somewhere burning. I know a lot of people won't believe what I'm saying. You know, the first time I was studying the word and I saw somebody with an article that explains this too, I was so shocked and I said the Holy Spirit is one. I saw it, I was so marveled. I was like, wow. That means, you know, as a young preacher those days, one of the things that get us excited is the fact that we are saying something and we are not alone. Because if we are saying it alone, no matter what, something is wrong somewhere. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Holy Spirit should have inspired somebody to see what we are seeing. And so I found out that lake of fire is not some fire necessarily burning somewhere else. It is not different from hell. If it is like that, well, how do you think the lake of fire should be? There's a funny way Christians say it. Lake of fire is a smaller fire. Sorry, hell is a smaller fire, burning the hell out of people. Then the lake of fire is a bigger fire. I mean, if you think we're joking now, we'll take you from this smaller one and put you in the bigger one. So you hear people even preach that thing to inspire people out of sin. Nobody. Have they not preached that thing to you before? How many weeks did you repent? You know, the past 2 days, 1 week. You first cry like you love Jesus. He's not Jesus. So you are crying because you fear hell and lake of fire. And sometimes you see it on books and you see it on Facebook sometimes. You now see rapture, you now see 666 on Satan's head. You know, you see funny things. And it's been making people, but inside your nature still wants to go to hell. Your nature like hellfire things. You just like hellfire things, but you don't want to go to hell. How does that help matters? You like party in hell, you like the women, you like women, but you don't like hellfire. But you like hellfire activity. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Is that not funny? You think God is as small as that? God is bigger than that rubbish. To give you a nature that likes the activities of hell and is like, okay, make sure you make it. Try, make it. Finally, those by my right. I'll tell them, well done, you try. You know, easy. That's how some people see God. He's just waiting for you to somehow try, then make him and enter heaven one day. It's a lie. God is not wicked. I don't want to serve that kind of God. That's not God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says he has given us everything necessary for what? Life and godliness. By the understanding of his great and precious promises. Religion will teach you like that too. At all costs, don't sin. But the big question is this. Can you stop a goat from eating grass? You can never stop goat from eating. Can you stop pig from entering mud? I dare you to go and carry a pig. Train the pig for 5 years in your parlor. Huh? Put lights. Put everything. Put AC. Let the pig be not feeling hot. You understand what I'm trying to say? Cool room. For 5 years. Then create a mud just at the front of your house. The day you want to release it after 5 years. When you just open. Oh my God. That pig will not consider one, you know, not even 2 seconds. It will dive. You know, I'm wondering, for 5 years, I haven't trained you. That's what happens sometimes when we, you know, sadly, hear that preachers make mistakes. He was trained in the seminary for 10 years. He comes out, yet he's the craziest womanizer as a preacher. Because you see, whatever he has learned there are information, not revelation. Because if it is revelation, if you have seen him, you cannot what? Continue in your sin. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So you see some people who are trained for 10 years, some who go to theological school, they come out and they still are doing dirty things. They catch them doing dirty acts. Why? Because you know, whatever you have learned there, sadly, is not the knowledge of God. They are just religious ideas. You see, many people are proud that they can, you know, and I truly feel, if I say this, some people will now get lazy. I think everybody, if you truly are a good Christian, a sound Christian who knows the Lord, you should be able to quote a lot of scriptures. But not everybody that quotes scriptures understands scriptures. Some people learned it from a child, they did competition with it, and it ends there. Have you seen people like that? They can quote and win you, but they don't have a revelation of everything they are quoting. And it will not profit you. Alright? You sit in a class and you just recite. You are not different from the Muslims, sadly. Because that's what they do. This thing must grow beyond information to what? Revelation unto you. Alright? And that's why when you see these people misbehaving. You see, these are the things that have made Christianity to look like it's not worth pursuing for a lot of people. Even to you seated here. At some point that you felt like compromising, I'm telling you, there are a lot of activities that added up for you making that decision that day. But a lot of times you may not even figure out. Many people will not figure out. The day you made up your mind to do something wrong, it is not because something happened that day. There had been a pile of activities. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? There had been happening some sort of. Maybe you are not even conscious of all of these activities on your inside. But subconsciously now you are making up your mind to do something wrong because of what? Track record of what? Wrong things that have been happening. And that's why the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, not even listening. Hearing. That while you just sat down there and things are just passing through your ear, something is happening somewhere. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? That while you sat down just hearing the wrong information or the right information, something is happening. Now as much as possible, plug the word of God to your ears. Because something is happening to you. Whether you are not paying attention, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing the word. And that's why the Bible says something like this. The words of the wicked wait in search for blood. What does that mean? You were there, you did not join them to talk. They said the thing and you left. I've used day-to-day events to explain this before. That, take for instance, you have this wonderful friend who had some people who speak against her or who hate her. And you have always been sure that they are just hating on your friend. One of these days now, the mistake you are making is that you always sit down there when they talk about your friend. And one of these days, you now have issues with your friend, which must happen as long as the earth remains. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? There's this slight issue now you are having with your friend, this little disagreement with your best friend. Then suddenly Satan will begin to raise those words. If you never heard them before, he will not emphasize them right now. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. But because you've heard it before, Satan will now say, probably what they say is true. You may even tell it to your friend. Okay, so what they are saying about you is true. You've heard people quarrel like that before. Because you have actually sat where they said something about her. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I said, how? Because men don't do like that. Are you able to get out? I'm trying to explain to you. Yeah, so it's more with the women. But if you never sat there, you would have never, the problem would have solved easily. Are you able to get out? I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. So what you hear really has a great impact over you. You know, I was joking with a young man here who comes to church very well. When we play football together, and you know, I see how he always wants to, you know, it's the spirit of football. Anytime he's in the field, you will see him like a different person. Anything they blow, he will rush to the ref. One time, I'll say, allow ref to blow. He said, Pastor, you people will just be, you'll be pressurizing the ref to blow. I say, no, I did not talk. He said, is it like Pastor? Is it like Pastor? I say, hey, football, oh. Where was I? Ahem. Faith cometh by hearing, fear cometh by hearing. Saul was in the wrong association. Sorry, the right association. He started prophesying. Can you remember? Just in the right company, he started what? Prophesying. So atmosphere really matters. Are we together? I don't keep friends who, not like they are my enemies, right? But they are not my friends. You know, you can be cool with somebody and it's not your friend. Do you get what I'm trying to say? I don't keep friends who don't share the same value system with me. But I like them as human beings. And we talk. But we can't be friends. I'm trying to guide my atmosphere. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I can't be doing unnecessary argument. But we're friends. Sorry, we are cool. Let me put it like that. That's how it should be for life. So that digging process and etc. is the reason why some sort of you don't see effective Christians even in church. You see somebody is in an atmosphere, in a place where the word of God is strong. But you see the person doing wrong things. In fact, you are in a place where the word of God is strong and you hear that a member did something so terrible. And you are wondering what is happening. Is that the pastor is not teaching enough? No. The people don't pay attention to the word. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? They have the word, but they don't meditate on the word. They are like children. They are more excited with activities. They want to jump and play. They like concerts. They like where they will go and shout, boy, like I was standing courage in the house the other day. I said, your generation like noise, not worship. I said, that's why most of them don't have patience to hear people like Hillsong. There's no patience. Before Hillsong will finish, start singing one verse. Them, they would have finished one verse and entered the distant bridge. Only the intro is frustrating them. They're like, no, do this thing, Shasha. They want to shout. And they will tell the drummer. They will not think that's what is moving people to fall under the anointing. A time will come, you will say, drummer, in fact, you take everybody stop. You say, let's worship God. We're watching Ron Kenoly that time. People don't like to talk that topic. Before he died, he was in Ghana singing. Then when he closed his eye in worship, he opened his eye and saw people doing like this. He now said, stop! Stop that! Then he explained how that someone is trying to be intimate with his wife and they are videoing the person. How would you feel? And he warned them that if they do that again, he was going to leave. I think I even saw one again recently by our very own in our country here. Is he a pastor or a brother? Theophilus Sunday. And I said, God really blessed this man. He was worshiping and he saw people doing video. And he shouted, stop! You know, the way he talks, and you know, that is apostolic sound. We didn't come to see a man, we came to see the king. And that thing got to me too, that apostolic nature at that point. I mean, I love what was happening here. I said, oh, I nearly put it on my status, I just forgot. I said, that's how it's supposed to be. Yet there are some worshippers that will just, you are mighty in this place in me. Such a serious bunch of a serious set of people. But you see, Gen Z, they like that kind of thing. The way they can do it in this church is to try it, that is the problem. Let's give Jerome your phone to go and sell. Hallelujah to Jesus. So some things are popular, but they are not truth. And we don't care where the hell they come from. We don't stand with it. Because in the realm of the spirit, there is no stand for it. It has no place. Are you listening to me? It can be popular, but it has no place in the realm of the spirit. So the young people like activities. Too much activity. I pastor more of young people. That's why I'm telling you this truth. We love activities more than the real stuff. Look at our town. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Look at this town. I have a perspective. And some people may think I'm crazy for saying this. The influence of God in this town is very minimal. And I can give you one proof out of a lot. They recently said we are the most, we carried first in something. We have more HIV human beings than in any part of the world. Sorry, in any part of the nation. Than this country, I mean. We carry first. At least we tried for something. We carried first. Now, where people carry first in HIV and AIDS, what's dominant there? A spirit of immorality. Because that's the number one way HIV and AIDS gets transmitted to other people, isn't it? For a people who know that there is such a thing as HIV and AIDS, I know that this is a method through which it gets transmitted, yet cared less and still did those things and got it, something is wrong somewhere. There's a serious spirit of immorality. A serious one. That they couldn't even help themselves. They didn't fear death. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They want to enjoy the pleasure. Even though they can project death in their mind, they didn't care. They wanted the pleasure right now. Something is wrong. Yet, so much spirit of religion. So much spirit of religion. There's a problem, a serious problem. And you see, the demonism for the Pentecostals that don't want to sit with doctrine, it is weighing them down. So the best of us now, outside the so-called orthodox whatsoever that is happening, which we know is all rubbish, is the truth, is a new set of people now who want to do Christianity with earrings and plaits their hair. They want to be the new kind of Gen Z 21st century Christians. That's the best of what we now call Christianity in this state. If you're wondering, this boy, you know, that was quite fervent with the Lord. He has split hair. And he said he has an album he's releasing. One came to my office that he wants to release an album and he wanted space here. I can't remember his name. And I looked at him from head to toe. So instead of giving him space, I started preaching for him. I don't accept this here. If you want to love, if you want to serve God, you need to. When I started preaching, he didn't come back again. And I mean it. I wouldn't allow that kind of thing to happen. Before I allow it, the next service, Ayo will come and plant her. Because he thinks prophet is cool with this thing. You know, someone is like, but there is nothing in planting her. You are just, see, you are a tartar. You will not understand what I'm saying. You are only fitting bottle. There's milk inside. Because you see somebody did it in UK, US, you think it should be the order of the day. You are not grown. You are still a child in your mind. We don't care wherever it came from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible said we have all received the measure of faith. The way God is happening in me is the way it's happening in another person elsewhere. The Holy Ghost I have is not a black type. It's the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And he knows and understands all things and he teaches everybody accordingly. That will be open to understand. The big question is, what will make you just sit and say you want to plait your hair? Outside all of the things you can do for God. What will make you to sit and say you just want to bow your ears? After all the things. I mean, there are a lot of things. Look at all of you seated here now. That somebody will sit here and the best of the Holy Spirit for you at this moment is that you should go and bow your ears. Why? Did you observe in this atmosphere, the Holy Spirit doesn't give that kind of instruction? Because there is no way we'll be setting your gaze on Jesus and you'll be thinking of that kind of thing. When they say New Testament, some people think is a new system of carelessness. That's what many people think. I don't know whether it's the word New Testament there that is confusing people. And so they want to bring new things. See, what we are doing today is making sure that this kingdom age spreads. When we say new, we don't mean that we are trying to reveal new things at all costs and buy into some new ideologies that we don't know where the hell they are coming from. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's making sure that what is supposed to be from the beginning happens today. Jesus spoke to some folks, some Pharisees, he said, Moses said this doctrine to you guys. He allowed these things because of the hardness of your heart. But in the beginning, it was not so. So Jesus brought something to them in their days that seemed like a new thing. But that was what was happening in the beginning. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. And that's why the Colossians 3:3 in the Amplified says, this your new, real life. It looks new, but it's the real stuff that was supposed to be from time past. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's why I confidently tell you, Jesus has not become your rest, if you don't know Jesus and have found rest, you will not. There is no end to your quest. There is no kind of earring you will not put. There is no kind of makeup you don't want to do. There is no kind of hair you don't want to make. When you truly encounter Jesus, he becomes your rest. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see that everything, like Paul said, is now moderated. Everything is done moderately. But if you don't understand these things, you will think that some Christians who are being moderate are only being hyper-spiritual. Even though we understand that some of them are actually being hyper-spiritual. But of course, not everybody. Are you all listening to me this wonderful evening? Yes. Glory to God forevermore. So it's obvious. I said on Sunday before I even saw that news today, that my eyes were open and I saw how the devil, in the form of a serpent, is using his tail to swipe off an entire generation through the spirit of immorality. And I tell you, Satan means business. Even though we had said on Sunday that he's a fake king on a throne trying to cause impact. Because he has no throne anymore. And because there's only one location for what? Power. And that's Christ Jesus, isn't it? But through ignorance, he's seeming to be prevailing. Through ignorance. Because the ones that thought that they were standing on the rock were probably standing on sinking sand. You all know the scripture. In vain they worship me because they take us what? The teachings of men. So their worship to God is vain in that it misses the target. They want to live a holy life, like Paul said, the things I don't want to what? I find myself what? So you see that he's in vain. Because he was standing on sinking sand, man-made doctrine. What he wants to do for God, he finds himself doing something what? Negating. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So the worship is vain. He's dressed like a good man and blah blah blah, but he wants to do bad things. Why? Paul would not think it's his fault at that point probably, but thank God he got revelation and now he's speaking outside the box of religion. And here is Paul saying to them, you know, that the law are the ways of a spiritual man, but I, Paul, when I was trying to live like you by the law, my nature at that time was sold under the nature of what? Sin and death. That is why the things I don't want to do, I would find myself doing them. Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me? You see, at that point, Paul agreed that this is not supposed to be the order of the day for Christians. That if you find your place in that, if yourself in that place, you should trust God for deliverance. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? You should trust God for salvation. And so he cried at that point, telling them the story. Who can deliver me? And at the end, Paul said something at the tail of Romans 7. He said, I thank God for the cross of Jesus, that I can now do what my heart desires. Then the continuation, Romans 8:1. There is now no what? Condemnation. To them who are in what? Because this set of people don't walk after the flesh. They walk after what? The spirit. Then he said, the law of the spirit of life in what? Has made me what? Free from the law of sin and death. That what the law could not. Now he's now citing Romans 7, right? What the law could not attain because of the power and the strength of the flesh, Jesus attained it. He destroyed sin, even sin in the flesh. He now explained through 4 and 5 how that sin still takes opportunity to subject us, you know, because we set our gaze on the flesh. Then in verse 6, he says, to be carnally minded is death. He said, but to be what? It brings me now to the beginning. To be carnally minded is death. We are not just ordinary human beings. We don't describe our flesh, ourselves by the fallen nature. Are you listening to me? Adam died in that he described himself from the lenses of the flesh. He said, I'm naked. Meaning he began to describe himself from the lenses of the flesh. But to be carnally minded is death. And yet flesh and blood cannot inherit the what? Kingdom of God. Alright? But he said, if you set your heart on the knowledge of Christ, on the things of the Spirit, he said, ye shall live. You will find peace and live. You see? Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here this wonderful evening? He said, he shall live. Then if you go down to, of course, 11, it says, if the same Spirit that has raised Jesus from death dwells in you, what has that Spirit done? It has quickened your mortal body. So the end that you are not what? Debtors to the devil anymore, but debtors to what? God. So that you subject your flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost that is on your inside. You see that? Then he said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the sons of God. Say, I'm a son of the living God. Say, I'm a son of the living God. If you align this with verse 1, it says, now there is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, because they don't walk after the flesh. They walk after the Spirit. This is how sonship, this is the line that is drawn to affirming sonship. You must have the boldness. Like he said, he has not given you the spirit to fear again. Trust God for this boldness. You have it on your inside. You know, I was thinking of something while I was coming to church. More like a woman that says she does not like breastfeeding. A demon is in her head. A woman that says she does not like carrying babies. She does not like babies. There's a demon in her head. Because this is what God created you to naturally do and like. So if you find yourself hating it, there's Satan alive on your inside. I was just thinking about it and I promised myself to say it. Do you know there are some women who they said they took them to rehab, to psychiatric hospital, sorry, in the white world, because when they gave birth, the children were making them go, their head started touching. They could not control their kids. So they now had a situation that, and they now gave it a name. Such an unserious generation. Thank God for Africa. All those names used to come from them. So they would call it a name. They would not say woman, womanosis. Might be something, I don't know. You know, the devil is so smart. The way he plays on people. A mother is running away from her child. She does not. The child is disturbing her. You don't know that you have all grace to receive all disturb in this world. All the disturb in this world. You know, my wife knows me. Anytime she kind of begins to disturb, I just, whether she's praying or I'll just carry her and go and keep her. Say, learn prayer. Because I know she has that grace. She'll be sure to laugh, like I'll just keep her. Say, watch your mother pray. I don't go and lock the door and leave them inside. Because there's grace to hold that baby. There's grace. Me, I used to hold her. But I know where my grace stops. And I know there's sufficient grace somewhere. You divine God. Is he not the one that created them? Then you now hear the worst of them. Say, I don't want to marry because marriage will... God created you to marry. You don't want to marry. And some who have caused it for themselves will now be making it look that... Because you see, anything Satan wants you to do, he has already started it through somebody. There will always be somebody there that will encourage you. There's this big influential woman that did not marry. She has a lot of money. I will not marry. Satan has already started it somewhere. So you always have inspirations out there. Any yeye thing that comes to your mind, somebody has started it. So I encourage you. This is my room over there. My room over there did not marry. I don't care about marriage, Jerry. If men come, if they don't come, those are the people that love marriage more. If you hear people that talk like that, they love marriage. Well, you see, you are even doing yourself because God is hearing you. Be humble. If you want to marry, pray. If they say your husband is coming, just raise your hand. Don't feel bad. Okay, your husband is coming in the name of Jesus. You see? Say, I say, me marry, sir. Sir, what if somebody doesn't want to marry? Shut up! Think it's we are, we'll be joking with us. The bonus today. Who does not want to marry? You that you are praying every night for God to bring the right man. And say what is somebody. You see, God is hearing, angels are hearing you. The guy is very close. That question you ask now, God took him at the back again. I heard her saying she does not want marriage. So we took the man back. Let him not see her again. Be humble. See, where do you want to get married, sir? This year, let my man come. God likes those kind of humble people. Don't be lying. Are you all listening to me? You know, I was talking to somebody saying, my sister doesn't want to marry. She's just like that. But there's some people in this world, they just don't want to marry. Their mind, Satan has entered. Anybody that sits as a woman and says, I don't want to marry, is the devil. It's not God. Listen, the only reason why we can say that it is true is that it is God inspired. And that you really have something substantial to do with God. But you see all these unserious ones that they break their heart and they are saying that they don't believe in men. Not even angels taking people serious. Just be serious with your life. You know, sometimes when people talk like this, sorry I'm adding this to my sermon. The reason why you people continue this is your foolishness, because there are people to console you. If God allow you to come to my place and say this kind of thing, I'll just tell you, okay. You'll be so shocked that there's no consolation. Sir, men has come. Okay. I will not marry. Alright. So is that what you say? What do you want me to say? Something that it is you that carry your hand and put inside. How do you know men has come? You know they hear what? They say wait on God for a relationship. You fell in love. They say you know the guy. The guy knows you. You people have planned your future together. You have 3 kids. See you today. Some of you nice. In fact, I think there was a situation. They do 2 friends. They now join their brothers and sisters to marry each other. I want to marry my friend's brother. You think that one makes marriage work? Your friend brother and your friend. You see, you still chop heartbreak. Your friend does not have power over our brother. If he's not genuine with the Lord, don't marry. Tell your friend, I love you, but maybe your brother join us. Don't marry. Are you listening to me? Be wise. Say, this is our friend. We should take it to the next level. This is our friendship. You know, those days I used to have one friend. After secondary school, one day we went to our house. There was a way he was looking at my sister. My immediate younger sister. She said, what is your sister fine? I did not say anything. You know, as a young man, you just pretend like you did not hear. You don't want to believe what you are hearing. So I kept quiet. He even ate our food for me alone. We shared it together. Because before he goes home, he passes our house, he eats my own, then he will go and eat his own. I was not comfortable, but I did not complain. So that day, he now said, Kai, I like her. I'm not lying. I held him from the neck like this. I took him outside. I said, get out from my house. If you turn, I raised my hand to hit him. My mother shouted, Simon, what is wrong with you? I said, you like my, is he mad? My mother just started laughing and entered inside the house. She did not even say anything. She just allowed me to finish whatever I've started with him. I said, your life never come to our house again. Do you know that was the last day he came to our house? We will meet somewhere after school. When we start, I will watch him to be going home. I wanted to be sure he's going home. And when he goes home, they will now pass and come back to the barracks. That's how house visitation ended for me and him. And it went so well. The law, the brotherhood law is that do your thing outside there. Don't carry it to our house. That was the brotherly law. But he wanted to break it. Do you understand what I'm doing? Have you people been there before? Okay. It's more like you know your friend and your friend is saying he's in love with your sister. Hallelujah to Jesus. So,
Women, this word came for you people. It may be so striking, but the Holy Ghost spoke to me about it before I came to church. And I promised myself I would say it in this service, even though it doesn't have anything to do with this service. And one thing again you have to understand with men is that not many men are matured, get matured easily. Not many men get matured easily. That misbehavior you are doing with that brother, it will fly. It will spread like MTN. It will spread. Before he knows, these are men talk. Now that girl you won't marry, I beg. As a brother, now it's a fit you be that. You just see the brother go back home and be thinking of that, I beg. That I beg is a message. I beg, no triumph. I beg you, no triumph. So you have to be careful. Are you listening to me? And sometimes you didn't necessarily do anything evil with any brother you entered a relationship with. But who will believe? How many of us will believe? Me and who? I believe. Who will believe again? Eh? Me now have agreed to believe you. Who else will believe? We're 5 years in a relationship, nothing. Just the grace of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, Bible study, and all that. Okay, me, I believe you. Bring another person that believes you. So you see, people will just be assuming a lot of things. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And the worst of it, you have entered like 3 relationships before. Then you want the 4th man to come in the fire. You want him to come inside this kind of fire. If you have a sibling who is thinking like that, they need prayer. I don't want to marry. Go see. Lock yourself and start praying for them. It's not God. It's Satan. Are you listening to me? It's Satan. Hallelujah. I wish people can really listen. Life is not hard, though. It's these people that make it hard for themselves because they don't want to listen to the truth. Lastly, let me say this advice before I continue my teaching. You see these things about living anyhow you want to live your life. For a lady, be very careful. The way you dress, the way you do your things, be very careful. Most men who are sound upstairs will never want to have anything to do with you who dresses and live anyhow. Alcohol, you have drink. You see, men, as you see some boys talking about how that spin-off eyes. So is there something like spin-off eyes? You know, hear a boy say, when I took it in my head, he said, your head used to charge for spin-off eyes. That's a lady asking him. That's just like 2% alcohol. Something with him with a drink, steady on a steady. Are you a man at all? Now, look at the question you are asking. Ogogoro master, as a woman, you expect a man to put you in the house with such a mindset. The guy is thinking of his life first, his children, and children. Waiting to scatter your man's head is moderating your own. If I, you, yay. I heard something one day, they were telling the brother, the lady said, if she does not take that thing, she cannot concentrate. Hey! It was a mixture. It was not one. One mixture, don't miss it. Then the thing will make her concentrate. Then she can't sleep well. Aye. You not marry that type that cannot sleep in the night. She just be shaking. Be shaking. So just bring it this last time out. They will take again in the... And those, yeah, I will be okay to sleep. It starts now. Are you listening to me right now? Avoid it. Are you all listening to me this wonderful evening? You are 16, 17, 18, this unnecessary relationship, avoid them. One boy is in the choir or in the ushering team, or in the counseling team, whether it's donor, though, whether it's anybody, whether it's courage, so I call donor's name now. I hope you will not take it personal. Whether it's a or chair, maybe call your names. Sonio, and all of you, say, I want book with date, but I know I'm a pastor. No. Let our hatred is not known. Just coded something. Let's see how it will go. Before we let it out, we should not spoil this thing now. If you pray small, you will see two horns on their head like this. Satan have entered. And it is people who don't mean well that talk like that. They want to explore. It's not relationship. It's not in the name of the Lord they are entering that relationship. And you know, coincidentally, I always tell people, no pride. You are in a prophetic house. It will be very difficult. It will be very difficult. Except God close my eyes and he can do it. No problem. But it will be very difficult for somebody to survive misbehavior without being caught. You know, we caught somebody recently trying to exploit us in our building. And he said, sir, I think on Sunday I got the news. He said, sir, I'm not the only one. There's another person. He did not even say, I did not. He said, I'm not the only one. There's another. How did pastor get to catch? It's still a mystery. If you like, go inside stone, one small hole, do it. The Bible said, they said about Elisha, that there's one man in Israel that if you sit with your wife and do, you will hear everything you are saying. Are you all listening to me? So young women, if you have siblings like that, I put it to you, go and start prayer, night vigil for them. If they say they don't want to marry. And some of them, the reason they are saying they don't want to marry, I don't know why God had to, distract. Put this thing in my heart this afternoon while I was driving to church. Some of them will tell you that, I beg, there's nothing to marriage. It's frustration. It is not easy to admit that you are frustrated as a lady. But it's frustration. I'm telling you the truth. You just know it's frustration. Don't even tell them or they'll beat you. Don't tell them. But just know it's frustration and start praying for them. Are you all listening to me? Just start praying. They will marry. When they find love, they won't be ashamed to tell you they are in love. It's never too late. Whether they are 40-something or 39 or close to 50, go ahead and pray. Are you listening to me? Years ago in the barracks, I had these two people. Two of them were, if I say it, you think I'm lying. But it's the truth. One was the elder sister of my spiritual father. One was the elder sister of his best friend. They were both not married. And I remember one day I heard somebody mock them as a very young boy. And I almost shed tears because they love me so much. They can play with me and give me things, you know. As a young boy, they play with me so much and they love me so much. So I dedicated months of prayer for them. Nobody knew, not my spiritual father. He's blessed now in heaven. He's hearing me for the first time say this probably. Nobody knew I started praying for these two people. When they got married, I just sat down. I know a lot of people prayed, but in my heart, I was like, Father, I thank you. Eating the rice, what was my business? I didn't need to announce anything. But I made up my mind that they must get married. And I began to pray. And it worked. They were quite elderly. I tell you the truth. I can't tell you their actual age, but they were quite elderly in the 30s. Are you all listening to me? So go and pray for them. And if you are here, don't position yourself to be metamorphosed into such a lady. Don't position yourself to be what? Metamorphosed into such a lady. Because it starts from this young age sometimes. You have a certain mindset and you begin to relate with everybody from that mindset. And before you know, you are growing older and older, not accommodating to certain ideas, and men are scared of you, and etc. Are you listening to me? Very important. Where was I? Before I came to all this place. Ooh, glory. So Luke 6, right? And 48 said, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house, and could not shake it, for it was what? Founded on the rock. And the difference was never access to the truth. It was what each man did with it. Okay. Let me remove this line. It points to another emphasis. So you probably may not write that. If you've written that, you can cancel it. The standing house required digging deliberately. Like I said, staying with the word, right? Fasting and prayer. Digging deliberately, costly, downward labor past the top soil of assumption, past the clay of what? Tradition, until the shovel rings against the rock itself. Bang! Now see something there. The top soil of assumption. The word of God should not be some assumption. Are we together? And what? The top soil of what? Tradition. Clay of tradition. It should not be that. It should go beyond that. Are we together? Are we together? Until the shovel what? Rings against what? The rock himself. Who is the rock? Christ Jesus. So there must be this holy desire to want to know Christ. Are we together? If there's that holy desire to know Christ, me and you will meet at an equilibrium as I teach the word. You'll capture it. You must have that hunger. Are we together? Now, and I wrote, much of the church have refused to dig. We have sat comfortably on the surface, quoting conclusions we never excavated, defending doctrines we never tested against the word, and because the foundation is not anchored into the reality of the gospel. The moment the stream of life beats vehemently against the house, temptation, pressure, loss, offense, it crashes. Temptation what? Pressure what? Loss? Loss of any kind? Then what? Offense. Everything just crashes. Somebody gets offended, don't want to leave church, don't want to leave God, don't want to leave anything God has assigned them to do. Somebody gets tempted because of the difficulty of life, maybe some pressure in this world, lost something, boom, God evaporates from their head because they were never on the rock. And that is why I am a preacher that believes people should not emphasize the activity of prayer than the true essence of prayer. If your basis for prayer is not the word, you are not praying. You are only a clanging cymbal, as 1 Corinthians said. Are we together? Are we going somewhere? Because if you look at 1 Corinthians, you should get what I'm trying to say. Alright? Giftings and what? Fullness. So if all you do is to emphasize the giftings without the understanding of Christ, alright? At a point, of course, at the status quo right now, you are just more like a clanging cymbal. Because you are saying you are praying in tongues without the basis of revelation. What prayer are you doing? See, and be confident to believe what I'm saying. I mean, be confident to believe the truth. Our problem is that we're in a generation that anything that gets popular begins to question what we call truth. I don't know that people are getting what I'm trying to say. So you have this understanding now. Then you see somebody doing, I'm trusting God not to, and I will not make it look like an insult. The person is looking quite fervent. Wah, wah, wah. And you look at your life and look at the way you are praying and wondering whether that is why there are some things not happening for you. Then you want to change your order of prayer. You too, now nothing happened to you. You have squeezed your eye and squeezed your mouth to one place. And you are saying that you are praying. Meanwhile, there's a way the Holy Spirit knows that you used to pray with him. And the next day, the Holy Spirit wants to interface with you now. He sees you do like this. Your eye is not east, your mouth. And he's wondering, what the heck is wrong with this child of God today? Because you are trying to impress somebody. You too, you want to look like you have arrived. There are some people that will enter into an assembly, and when they see people praying, they get uncomfortable. It's like, "Nami go see, I know they pray for you. Hey, make a show there, say all these things now." And everybody is doing kaka kaku kaka. You enter, go gra, go gru gru. You too, you want to show you can pray. You are not confident in your work with the Holy Ghost. Everybody has seen angels. You must see. Pastor now say, "Who has seen something? Come outside." "Ah, Esther, go outside." "Hey, are you mad? Nami no go outside. If Esther see, I saw." You see, like years ago, I was in an assembly. I'm not trying to mock. I entered as a young prophet. I was just coming to campus. So I heard, I was looking for where they pray. So when I heard that they were praying in this place, it was a morning to evening prayer. That's the kind of thing I grew up doing. So when I heard that there was a morning, I was so happy. I rushed to the place. We prayed from morning till evening, no lie. Then when we're trying to round up the prayer, then I say, "If you see something, come." Good intention. The pastor wanted to hear if people really saw it. Then everybody was saying, and I observed probably at some point people were trying to just say some things. I could just wait in my spirit. Then there was this particular lady that just made me to be sure that something is wrong here. She just stood up and said, I saw two big angels. And one tapped me by the back and said, do like this. The other one said, don't do it. So when I just looked at her, there was this vexation in my spirit. I said, these people are joking. This girl is joking with God. Is she okay? What is she saying like this? I did not say anything. Guess what? After some years, was it Pastor Anne I shared it or who? I can't even remember. I shared a link to somebody. Somebody who was seeing angels. It was a worldly song she was vibing to. I think not less than 1 year or 2 years. Thereabout. And I said, look at when if we are spoken that time, it will be as if we are trying to talk too much. A lot of times people do things to impress, and it is wrong. Are you listening to me? It is wrong. Like one time somebody met my wife. The guy used to like my wife before. So he now met my wife, now that she has married me, and he lost. So he came to my wife while we're married. I don't know which Holy Ghost moved through him. And said that my wife wants to travel to Abuja. Maybe he coincidentally heard the traveling. He now said if she goes, she will die. That she should not travel. So my wife said, it's not like I'm sharing anything with you, but this is what this person called me and tell me, oh, blah, 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 blah. I said, okay. When are you traveling to Abuja? She said, tomorrow. I said, first thing in the morning, book your car, travel to Abuja. So I said, just book. And when she went, she called me that she had arrived. I said, did your car scratch anywhere? He said, no. I said, that's good. I can't be sitting here. And God will flow through somebody that used to like you. You should understand already that this prophetic is by us. And that's how they've used some of you, they've used prophetic and love you. And you love them back. Prophetic. They will see something about your life and say, your name is this here, this is this here, this is this here. And I like you. Yes. Some of you use tongues. They use tongues and scope you. Tongues. The person projected you in the service and said, that's good. And he did, Lekomanato Efai Parash. Then the lady will shout, Shege Jaguar. This guy is good. This guy. He's got it. He's got it. He's not like those people that can't pray. He's a prayer. And he's holding his stomach. This one marry you. Your problems are solved. He go guide the home. He go guide everywhere. And probably you don't know that Joshua. You marry your husband. You are waking husband to pray. Only God knows everybody. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Some of you is singing. They use that scope. You singing. They just projected you in the service. Then they do. Hey, oh, oh. Love you. Instead of catching the Holy Ghost, you are catching. Hey, Jesus Christ, rose over high. And after the service, you have messaged the brother. You sang excellently well. And that's how some of you ladies kill brothers, because some of them don't have the power to say no. You know, some of these brothers are coming where there's no love. They've never loved them, and they now come to church. And they see one fine girl and they are wondering, God, I know this is not my mate. And the fine girl said, you are my type. They're like, oh Lord, I surrender. No power to resist. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? It happens. I told you the story of one of my boys that I sent to preach. He now went and saw a fair damsel. Then he answered that small, sir. Is it possible for God to give you a very beautiful wife? And I say, why not? Which kind of question is that one? Why would God not give you a beautiful wife? Is it written that in the heaven God only gives ugly wives? And I now ask him, who is even ugly? Because you know, you have to now balance this thing. I said, nobody's ugly. But I knew where he was going to. I was just playing along. Then one day he said, sir. And he said, the way God will do something is that God will not, because of your foolishness, not flow through you. Do you know that you may be liking a lady, God can still heal her through you? You love her, you love that lady. Then she's sick. God will not say because of your love for her, the anointing will not work. God will heal her. you will still be falling in love and probably not meant for each other. I don't know that you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you. Honest truth. I hope I'm teaching good this evening. So don't be swayed by other people's expression of maturity, spiritual maturity. Don't be swayed. Other people truly are like that. There are some people that are very fervent. They look very fervent. No lie. It's okay. But for some, it's not true. What you are seeing there is just camouflage. Meanwhile, since you have a walk with the Holy Ghost, stay true to it. Be confident in it. If this is what you know as truth by the help of the Holy Spirit, stand with it. That's a problem today. People are not, you know, they don't have this sustaining power. They can't stand with something for long. They want to do what is popular. They want to preach the most popular doctrine. They want to preach and sing the most popular song. They want to dance the most popular dance. They can't just do what is supposed to be there. Hallelujah to Jesus. I always teach worshipers here. The psalm is here. I said, effective worship is not singing the most popular songs, even though popular songs can be beautiful during worship. But don't just because a popular song came out, you now want to raise it up by all means. You are just looking for a part of the worship to fix it. Sometimes, see, learn a lot of good songs. Songs never, see, good worship songs never die. Whether they sang in 1991, 1970-something, 1958, it is eternal if it was coded through the word of God. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It is eternal. If you sing it today, it will be as impactful as it was 1950-something. Meanwhile, understand no good song so that the Holy Spirit can take out a song at the right time and bless the people. Not just popular songs. It's more like saying that old preaching have gone away. I should start preaching new preaching. No. I'm preaching the word of God. You are singing the word of God. I think you get it. I'm trying to explain to you. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right. Revelation does not attempt. Thirdly, okay, third point. The flood came to both houses. All right. Came to how many houses? Both houses. Now, Revelation does not exempt you from the storm. Remember what the Bible said? I will show you what somebody who hears the word and does it look like. He's a man that what? Dogs the ground to what? Build his house. Then the flood of life beat the building what? Vehemently. And it would not fall. Why? It was planted what? That means if you hear God's word and do it, where you are standing on is more important than your intention to not wanting to sin. God, I don't want to sin. It is secondary in the order of importance to where you are what? Standing on, which is a function of revelation. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. You may mean it and still sin. You may mean your devotion to God and still sin. Lord, I really love you. I don't want to sin. I don't, yet you may still sin. In fact, not you may, you will sin if you don't have the revelation of his word. Because you are not building on the rock. You ought to dig and build your life where? On the rock. Are you all listening to me? Revelation does not exempt you from the storm. It determines whether you will what? Survive it. Much of the church has refused to dig. We have sat comfortably on the surface, quoting conclusion we never excavated, defending doctrines we never tested against the word. And because the foundation is not anchored into the reality of the gospel, the moment the stream of life beats us vehemently, we fall. We crash. And then we blame the devil for the collapse. We blame the devil for the collapse. The devil is not powerful. When the collapse was architectural, in other words, it was an architectural fault that caused for what? That collapse. Why? You didn't build your house where? On the rock. Satan does not defeat you because he has power. He defeats you because your house is sitting on sand. Sinking what? Sand. On Christ the solid rock we stand. All other ground are what? Sinking sand. A flood does not need permission to destroy a house with no foundation. It does not need permission. It is bound to happen. So that simply means if you are not on the rock, you must fall. You must what? Fall. Whether you have good intention, you may be that building now, you are saying, God, I want to take over the world for you. I really don't want to fall. I really love you. You will fall. It will not take permission because you are not built where? On the rock. That is why the only thing that proves that we are actually seated on Christ is the pressures of life. When it comes and beat the building of our life vehemently, we can tell if the doctrines we have been believing were just man's wisdom. Remember what we quoted, in vain they worship me because they believe as doctrine the word, teachings of men. So when the flood of life beats that building of your life vehemently and you are able to stand, it is proof that you were built on the rock. That the revelation your life is anchored upon is the truth. And if you fall, that simply means these things had been what? Religious beliefs all this while. That cannot stand the test of time. So Satan does not defeat you because he has power. He defeats you because your house is sitting on sand, sinking sand. A flood does not need permission to destroy a house with no foundation. It only needs what? Gravity. Makes a lot of sense, isn't it? The religion of expected failure, the next subtopic. The religion of expected failure. So in a bracket you can put penance and the automated confession loop. Penance and the automated confession loop. I won't talk about that doctrine. Now listen carefully. Because our houses kept falling, religion had to invent a coping mechanism. Because our houses of our life kept what? Falling. Okay, let me say this again for Pastor Phil. He's asking them what I said. The religion of expected failure. In bracket, penance and the automated confession loop. So I start reading again. Because of our houses kept falling. And of course, you know the reason why the houses have been falling, isn't it? Because they were not built on what? The rock, on Christ Jesus. So because our houses kept falling, religion had to invent a coping mechanism. Well, let me say it the way we understand. A coping mechanism. Instead of digging down to the rock, we manufactured human doctrines to manage our defeat. Instead of digging down to what? The rock, Christ. We what? Manufactured human doctrines to manage our defeat. We created systems of what? Penance. As though self-inflicted sorrow could purchase what the blood already paid for. We created rigid, scheduled deeds of confession. The automated weekly reset. Now, think carefully about the psychology of this. We institutionalize Saturday confession because we fully expect to be defeated by sin before Friday. Okay? So somehow we know that before Friday, as long as we are human beings, we should sin. Who gave that report? Experience chapter 1 by 1, verse 1. I mean, God never said that. I'm not trying to be funny right now. God never said that. It's not in the Bible. Have you people ever heard this saying that says, you may even think it's in the Bible, the righteous man sins 7 times a day? Have you heard that before? A righteous man. Man-made ideas. I think there's one that says, heaven help those that what? Because we fully expected to sin before Friday. We did not build a fortress. We built a laundromat. Not a fortress. You know what a laundromat means, right? We designed a liturgical calendar around anticipated failure. A circle that does not resist the devil but accommodates him. The circle, the systems cannot what? Resist Satan. It can what? Meanwhile, this is against scripture that says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. All right. All right, so I'll read again. We designed a liturgical calendar around anticipated failure, a circle that does not resist the devil but accommodates him. penciling his victories into the church schedule. This is not a defense against the enemy. That is a playground built for him, with the equipment installed at our own expense. And all the while, the Holy Spirit boldly declares a different reality. And what is the reality? 1 John 3:9. Let's read together. Are we there? I want everyone to read so that we're in one accord. One to read. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because. Say amen. And this is a reality for believers. Oh, when you are built on the rock, you do not build monuments to your next expected failure. When you are built on the rock, you do not what? Build monuments to your what? Next expected failure. You walk in the consciousness of an incorruptible seed. The consciousness of an incorruptible. Now, say I'm in the consciousness of an incorruptible seed. I do not expect failure. I only expect victories all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. Now, this is not arrogance of perfection. Not perfectionism. English is hard. It is the confidence of what? The new creation. Say it's my confidence. Some people will think we're arrogant. The difference between the two religions, is the direction they face. Religion faces the next fall and prepare for it. I'm talking about those two things I started with in the beginning, right? Religion faces the next fall and is prepared for it. The gospel faces the finished cross and proceeds from it. Okay, now I'm talking about what Jesus has done. And religious idea. Do you understand me? Now, in vain they worship me. Of course, I've explained that, but let me just try to reiterate for some of you coming for the first time. In vain they worship me. What does this mean? Now, it is Matthew 15:9, Mark 7:7, right? For some of you who are hearing the scripture for the first time, Matthew 15:9, Mark 7:7. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine. Let's see the Mark 7:7 rendition. We have been reading Matthew for a long time. Mark 7:7. All right. The same thing, right? Now, vain, empty, voice, structurally useless. It is vain worship because it leaves the believer completely what? Exposed. Sincere, busy, religious, yet sitting on sand, waiting for the devil to make his next move and push the whole house back down to the earth. Alright? You are sincere, busy, religious, waiting for the next trial from Satan and are expecting to fall, and that is why there's this automated loop of confession for Saturday. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? A circle, an entire circle of failure and defeat. A defeated fool does not need power to topple a house of assumption. He only needs weather. This is where Hosea 4 6 comes in and Luke 6 shake hands. Hosea 4 6 and Luke 6, such a beautiful way I wrote. Both of them are shaking hands now. They are agreeing. What are they agreeing? The people are destroyed for lack of wood. And the houses collapse for lack of wood. Digging. Same diagnosis. Same cure. Are we together? The next subtopic, I want to finish this today. I thought about this early in the morning on Sunday. The leaking roof and the wretched man's awakening. The leaking roof. And the wretched man. Do you like my style of teaching recently? Okay. I thought I'm boring you people. Because the pastor does not necessarily like to read. He just view. But I think this will be better because you can write something and go and look at it beautifully. Yeah. So in bracket, you cannot write the parable of the leaking roof. It's not in the Bible. It's my discovery. The parable of what? So I'll align it with scripture. Are we together? Consider a building with a small hole in the roof. Or on the roof. It's in the roof, right? Huh? Linguist. It's in the roof, right? See how God is doing something. When I called linguist, he was sleeping. Okay. You denied this sleep. And linguist. Now hear the English. Consider a building with a small hole in the roof. Is that right? It's right, ba? Okay. Every time it rains, water finds its way through the hole. Isn't it? Even though it's small. Now the owners are not blind. They know something is wrong, so they apply a remedy. Perhaps a patch. Alright? That they assume is working. They are not sure. They just assume the patch will work. Isn't it? A solution they feel is enough. And because they trust the assumption, they stop watching the hole. You know, the worst things I hate to hear is, "Sir, I think it's working. Sir, I think." When I hear that thing, I used to feel sick immediately. Meaning you are not sure about something that you should be very sure about. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. Somebody is very sick. You just take the person to a chemist. You don't understand the... You don't have faith to pray for the person to be well. You take the person to a chemist. And when they say, how is the health of the person? You say, I don't know, but I think it will make progress. We took some drugs today. Are you okay? You are joking with life. Do you know how much is coffee? Do you know how much it takes to pay people to dig the grave? I know I'm hitting you with time. Listen to me. Because I've been in situations like this that I got offended at the carelessness of people. That money you don't want to spend, you spend times five in burial ceremony. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Especially with health. Don't assume. Are we together? So they stopped watching the hole because they felt like they had a remedy that was working. Meanwhile, it was a mere assumption. But the remedy was never a remedy. It only looked like one. And so rain after rain, season after season, water keeps what? Entering. Quietly, little by little, drop by drop. Remember that saying, little drops of what? Makes a what? Unbelievable, but you should understand the revelation and forget if it's fact. Nobody panics, drop by drop, little by little. Nobody panics because no single drop looks dangerous yet. Until one day the room is filled, the walls are stained, the furniture is ruined. The walls are stained. The furniture is ruined, I mean, the foundation is soaked. Remember the incident we had in our bedroom? Our water heater, one of the pipes broke. Little by little, my wife was telling me, "But Simon, this wall is getting soaked." I will go and look at it. As long as water has not started pouring on the ground, I was just quiet. Until one day, when I looked at it, I said, "Jesus Christ." And Shekinah went and was peeling the tin. I wanted to lick it. I said, "Jesus." I was seeing it on her mouth. I said, "Vomit it." She was just looking at it. I said, "Vomit it." She couldn't. She has heard this. I said, "And I told God, just this last chance. Let nothing happen to my daughter." And I made sure I arranged it that day. But it started a long time ago. Small, small. The thing has not soaked everywhere. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But eventually, little by little, everywhere was soaked. Became dangerous. Even down to my, a threat to my daughter now. Alright? So nobody panics because no single drop looks dangerous yet. Until one day the room is filled, the walls are stained, the furniture is ruined, the foundation is soaked, and the damage is suddenly very severe. Now here is the deception. At that moment, it feels as if water is what? Enormously powerful. Very powerful. You now begin to think water is very dangerous. But it's a lie. It's a lie. But water did not become powerful. Water simply did what water always has been doing. Against a remedy that was never a remedy. Let me read it again. But water did not become powerful. Water simply did what water always has been doing. Against a remedy that was never a remedy. What am I trying to say? Today people say Satan is powerful. Well, if you wait, right, for many years we have been using the same strategy. The same strategy that is not some mere assumption for Satan, religion. And today it looks like Satan is more powerful. Because little drops, it now became very, very, you know, severe. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It now looks like Satan is powerful. Can you imagine? In that certain country, they said that man should marry man. They said woman should marry woman. End time. It was small. Now they are legalizing it. We kept quiet. We felt like we can. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Cope with it. So little by little, you were managing the sin. You were in this church for many years. Alright? And all that was happening were mere religion. But you really love the Lord. And once in a while you sin. But you are not consistent in the sin. One time he metamorphosed from hidden sin to obvious sin. What you were doing in the secret, you now dare to do it visibly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. You never knew that one day you become this kind of villain. It was little by little. You were accommodating it. In fact, the religious whatsoever avoidance and the rest, you will go and confess your sin and go for penance. Meanwhile, the root of sin is still there. And the best that religion can provide is what? Confessing and what? Penance. Are you able to get what I'm trying to explain to you? But this is actually you. It comes to a point that even the pastor cannot even help himself. The person you are confessing to is looking for who to confess to. So it's so funny. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? That's why when that young man came to the son of the prodigal's, the prodigal son was running to his father to hug him. Sorry, before he hugged him, he wanted to confess his sin, if you remember. He said, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And when he wanted to say the sin, what happened? God Almighty, what? Hugged him. Shh, say no word. What will save you is not that you confess your sin. What will save you is my love. Receive my love. And I said, take the robe of righteousness. God changes nature. And when God changes nature, automatically, he responded by living well from henceforth. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So what will change you is not your confession of sin. It's your understanding of the love of God. And your understanding of the righteousness of God. He said we can only love in 1 John 4:19 because he has first loved us through his what? Death and what? Burial and what? Resurrection. The product of his death and burial and resurrection is Christ Jesus. So when you build your life upon Christ, you are building your life upon what Jesus did and attained for you on the cross of what? Calvary. You are building your life upon the love of God. And that way you can never be swayed by the devil. In fact, the Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sin. He now says the love of God. There's a word I want to use. Silence fear. How did he say it? In 1 John 4. He said the love of God cast out fear. There's no outer of fear. You see, somebody who has encountered the love of God sometimes will sound proud. There is no fear in that person. He can't say, "I may fall." Mm-mm. He will say, "I cannot fall." He speaks like Paul. Now I can do what? All things. If you don't talk like this, and I'm not saying just start automating yourself to talk like this. You will talk like this when you stay so much with the word. If the word has really taken its full course on your inside, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will what? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? The Bible says he has said so that we will timidly say. He has said so that we will childishly say. What did the Bible say? He has said so that we may what? Boldly say it. If God says you are holy, hell yes. I am. If he says I'm righteous, I am. Confidently. We are not scared. Whoosh. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So you see, it was severe, not because water is powerful. It was severe because of what? The duration of what? The neglect. Because we assumed that we had a remedy years ago. And that is why sometimes ago you knew a sister called, for instance, Sister Deborah in fellowship, in school, in secondary school, or even in university. She was so fervent with the Lord. And boom, one day you saw Sister Deborah on Facebook and you're like, what has happened to Sister Deborah? You see, Sister Deborah really loved the Lord even till this that you are seeing her.
But what she felt like was a remedy for sin, she could not. When the flood of life beat her vehemently, the stream of life beat her vehemently, a point came, she said, by strength I cannot prevail. She gave up. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that's why you hear people speaking about natural factors, logical factors to stand against sin. It can survive for a while until you hear that the people themselves are victim to sin. There's a story, and thank God for my heart, I would never say somebody's secret out here while I'm teaching. But there's something that I know firsthand about somebody who is very popular in this country. And nobody can ever imagine that person as I'm speaking right now. But because of where we grew and the liberty of information, in fact, not to mock, but because it spread, I was privileged to hear that information. One of those nights, I had to call my wife. I think she just bumped into me and helped me talking with my friend. And she, you know, my wife loved Jesus, so she sat down by the side of the bed and made sure that she did not miss anything that was happening there. Hallelujah to Jesus. She's squeezing her face, but it's true. My wife truly loved Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. And she heard everything we were speaking. And she was so amazed. I had to just sit her down and be explained. Because how can somebody that is this popular? And I said, listen carefully. I don't care about how popular you are. When I look at you and hear what comes out from your mouth, I know that's you. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It was such a terrible thing that happened. But you see, I really was not surprised. So I told my friend, because he gave up, he left the church, he gave up, and he was wondering where he should be attending. I said, look for a Bible believing church. He said, but my God, if I don't trust that one, who will I trust? I said, hear God, choose a place, attend. He always follows service, even till now he's following. Hallelujah to Jesus. But he had a very tough and a very bad experience. And that's why sometimes we beg people who are always at the forefront of ministrations, pastors, especially young pastors and Sammies, because sometimes we don't ask you, are you in the state of grace? Did you sin today? Did you sin yesterday? We just tell you, now you they worship tomorrow, now you they preach tomorrow, now you they. We don't even know what is happening with you. And a lot of times I tell you, people are preaching and singing while they are struggling, because you know, at a point the preaching and the singing becomes an obligation, not because you really want to even do it. It's more like your hands are tied. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? You are in it, and you cannot say you are going back. So, what will really prove that you can stand the test of time is not the fact that you are popular or a preacher or a singer, but that your life is built upon the rock. There are many people who love the Lord and have messed up big time. Have you seen people like that? And you are left with one question. What really happened? The ignorance would condemn them. And I'm not saying we should just give them the right hand of fellowship and say what you did was okay. But I tell you, the reason why they fell was because they were not on the rock, not because they were not sincere people. It's not about your sincerity. If you don't build your house with the right foundation, when flood comes, it will swipe off. You can be crying and say, Lord, not my house, but it will be destroyed, isn't it? By default, destruction will happen to you. And that's why I asked the question. Many of us seated here had meant it at some holy moment in worship and prayer to the Lord that this is the last day we will see and that we will never see in our life. And we meant it to the Lord. At a point, we now found ourselves doing the things we don't want to do. Will you say at that point now you are a devil and you don't love the Lord? You can still say, I love you, God. But unto God, what he calls love, even though he will not beat you and say, stop saying you love me. What he calls love is that you are able to do his word. Hear his word and what? Do it. He says, if you love me, what? Keep my commandment. So it sounds very emotional, but it's not true. That's why one time I was telling you about this song that says, I love you forever, which is very right. I point and I say, I make much mistakes sometimes, but I love you. He was just being factual. That was not revelation. Are you listening to me? And that doesn't make him a bad person. He was being factual, and the song made a lot of sense to most of us because we're in a lot of people are in that same situation. But Jesus said, if you love me, with a very lovely tone, not with a very authoritative tone, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandment. Now, 1 John 9 came and just scattered everything. As if we were joking here. He said, the commandment of the Lord are not burdensome. In the NKJ Amplified version, it said they are not difficult to obey.
Say the commandment of the Lord are not difficult to obey. Shout it like you mean it. Say the commandment of the Lord are not difficult to obey. One more time. Say the commandment of the Lord are not difficult to obey. Now what God has said, you must say. They are not difficult to obey. Every morning I wake up, your commandment, Lord, are not difficult to obey. Your commandment, Lord, are not difficult to obey. I live your word all the days of my life in the name of Jesus. I'm not looking for somebody else who is doing the word to encourage me to do. The word of the Lord is enough for me. As long as I saw it in scripture, I will do it. I meditate so much on it, and if my eyes be single, my whole body is flooded with light. In the name of Jesus, my eyes are single. I am one with the Lord. I am seated far above principalities and powers. I am one with Christ. In the name of Jesus, I am built upon the rock. In the name of Jesus, God Himself is my righteousness. In the name of Jesus, I am a partaker of His divine nature. In the name of Jesus, I have been bought at a price. I am God's own special purchased possession. I am born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. In the name of Jesus, I am full of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. And so I sound like an alien to the world. In the name of Jesus, sin is not the order of the day for me. In the name of Jesus, I reign and I live like the devil does not exist. In the name of Jesus, I'm caught up in God, who is a light so shining, and in Him there is no trace of darkness. In the name of Jesus, there is no idea of sin in me. There is no probability of sin in me, because God is a light so shining. In God there is no trace of darkness. In God there is no shadow of turning. That simply means there is no backsliding in my dictionary. I can never backslide. Yes, boldly I declare, I can never backslide. It is impossible to backslide, because Jesus has done more than enough for me. He has done more than enough for me to stand and stand through every trial of life. I can stand, and the flood of life, the stream of life, will beat me vehemently, and I will not even notice it. The Bible said in the book of Jeremiah, he said, when heat comes, because they are planted by the riverside, he said, when heat comes, they will not notice it. When heat comes, why would they not notice it? They are planted eternally by the riverside. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because I trust in you, and I am as a tree that is planted by the riverside. And when tough seasons come, I will not notice it. My life is built upon Christ, and the gates, the whole strength of hell will not prevail. Satan may be trying so hard, but I don't even notice what he's doing. I can't notice it, because power has one address, and that address is Jesus Christ, and he lives in me, and he's the Lord of my life. I'm unconscious of Satan. Even if I hear people emphasizing Satan, I don't advertise Satan. For me, Satan is a specimen. He is not a reality. When I talk about the devil, I relate with him as a specimen to explain him to my generation, how that he was defeated on Calvary, how that there is no place for him. I understand that I'm seated in the realm of power, above all principalities, above all powers, and they cannot come nigh me. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The order of the day for me is what eyes have not seen. It's what ears have not heard. It is not what has not entered the heart of men. What has not entered the heart of men, I mean. That is the order of the day for me. But you see, interestingly, for us, eyes have seen it. Our ears have heard it. Our minds have comprehended these things. You see, that's what we are teaching. We are teaching what eyes have not seen. They will say holiness is not possible, but it's the order of the day for us. That a man can be holy. They may say body is not firewood. We understand that if the same spirit that has quickened Jesus to rise from the dead lives in us, that Holy Spirit has what? Quickened. It's not going to. It has quickened my mortal body. In that regard, I'm a debtor. God says, I've done so much for you not to do this for me. What are we supposed to do for God now? Debtors not to walk according to the flesh again. Like the Bible says in Romans 12, 13. It says, Romans 8, 12 and 13. It says, debtors to by the Spirit mortify the desires of the flesh. That's why Paul said, in a great house are several vessels. He now says, if a man purges himself, mortifies. That simply means you have the ability to mortify. To purge yourself. Are you seeing that? And because I can do that in the name of Jesus, my body is under the subjection of my spirit. My body listens to me in the name of Jesus. My body is a faithful servant. It listens to the voice of God in my spirit. That's taking over my soul. In the name of Jesus. Body, you are under subjection. Body, you are under subjection. Body, you are under subjection. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Body, you are under subjection. Body, thank you, Jesus. For my body is under subjection. Our prayer is not, it is finished though. Our prayer is not, God, subject my body. Mm-mm. My prayer is, God, I thank you, for my body has been subjected. No wonder Paul said in Romans 12, acknowledge. Acknowledge. The word offer there means for you to acknowledge in Greek. Acknowledge that your body. In prayer, what do? We acknowledge what God has done. The Bible said that the communication of your faith. Alright? That maybe what? By the what? Acknowledgement. Acknowledging of every good thing that God has done for you. So what God has done now, we acknowledge it in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Because no devil can come near me. No witch and wizard exists in my world. I know there is only one address for power. Mosu Kapelia. There is one address for power. And that place is Christ Jesus. And he lives in me. He lives on my inside. It's a joke to think of a wizard. It's a joke to think of a witch. I am insulting God when I meditate on the ability of the devil. Because Satan has no ability. He has no ability. He has no ability. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oof! A toothless serpent. Oh, death, where is thy sting? What a shame. His ability has been stripped off. And God is asking a question. Oh, death, where is thy sting? I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I have so much strength, so much ability. My mind is overwhelmed by the understanding at the sight of this knowledge, this ability on my inside. My mind, my spirit, my body is overwhelmed by the understanding of God's gracious, powerful, gracious riches in me, the saints who believe. My power is immeasurable. My power is unlimited. My power surpasses greatness. That's my power. That's the power of God that has become my power. God's ability is my ability. In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. So therefore, in the name of Jesus, I don't think sin. For I know there is no probability of sinning in me. I don't think fear. Because Satan is not a factor in my kingdom. I don't think defeat. Because the one who causes people to be defeated has been defeated upon. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I don't think lack. Because all things are mine. All these are mine. And right now, I subject myself to God's ministry of the Holy Ghost on the earth. Holy Spirit, take my hand, lead me, teach me, mold me, get me capacitated to be like Christ, so that all that is mine is accessible by me. In the name of Jesus, now begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Woo! Lebo Sandabaya. God's ability. His ability. His walking in me. Is walking in me. God's ability. kidding me? Go ahead and pray. God's ability. His ability is working in me. Is working in me. God's ability. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Shabakara Namaya. Woo, glory. Era bolsa na maeca lara de ato barara de. Sienta na boca na dia rosa. Ora pa cara na mero so barara de. You walk in, you walk in, you walk in, you walk in, you walk in and be. God's ability. Woo, shabakana. His ability is working in me.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.